All right, Matthew chapter 1, please, this morning. Take your Bibles, please, and let's all turn to Matthew 1. Everybody's asking me, am I getting back on track from the jet lag? And the answer is yes, to some degree, although it's the evenings are where it's the most difficult. And that's where, you know, 7 o'clock comes and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning for those that are suffering from Israeli jet lag. And so I start getting real sleepy. I've been making myself stay awake. I stayed up till 9:30 last night. Now, the only problem with that is you go to bed at 9:30, you wake up about 4:30. And you're ready to go. Your body's had all the sleep it needs, and so you wake up. So I ate breakfast real early this morning, and now I am starving, and my sugar is dropped. I'm all shaky and jittery, and when that happens, I never know what's going to come out my mouth. So I'm just warning you right now. Who knows what I'm going to say this morning? So. You know, your mind just doesn't work the way it should, and all say things you don't mean and all that. So I'm warning you, okay? You have been warned, but I'll be all right. But let me have you look at Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 18. And I'll go ahead and tell you that the verse from which I'm going to take my message this morning is verse 21. And so really focus on verse 21 when we get to it. But let's go back and get the context. In verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son." Now here's my text verse now. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now, go back, please, to verse 21 and notice what the angel of the Lord said to Joseph. He said, "And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, I want you to know that, I want you to notice that there are three statements made in this verse. And I want to use these three statements this morning to give you the message that I'm going to entitle The Focus of Christmas. The Focus of Christmas. I think you can take these three phrases right here and just kind of focus in on what Christmas is all about. Let's pray together and then the message. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray your blessings upon the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And Lord, we hear so much about everything connected to Christmas. Help us to focus in this morning on what the Bible says Christmas is all about. May we see the Lord Jesus this morning. I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. I pray that we will have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. And Father, I ask that you'll give us attentive minds. And Lord, may we focus our attention upon what thus saith the Lord this morning. Guide and direct now And we'll give you praise and glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. When my brother and I, my brother is 1 year younger than me, and I went to college first. I went to Bible college first. He was a senior in high school. And then I went into my sophomore year, and my brother came to college, and we put in a request with the dean of men's office that we asking if we could room across the hall from one another and be in the same prayer group. There were three rooms that were made up a prayer group, and you met every evening at 10 o'clock for devotions and prayer before lights out. And we put in a request that we could room across the hall from one another. We knew it would not be a good idea to be roommates. We just, from experience, knew that that would not be a wise thing to do. And my mother made sure that that didn't happen. And but we did room across the hall from each other the entire time that we were in school together. And 1 year, I think it was my brother's freshman year, if I remember right, he had a roommate who, and I'm not trying to be unkind here, but I'm trying to get you to see the gravity of the situation. This boy was just about a half a bubble off. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he just wasn't quite level. He was just about a half a bubble off. When you put the level on him, he was just slanted just a little bit. And a strange kid. And a very likable guy. We enjoyed him. We enjoyed having him around, mainly because he entertained us so much. But I told him one day, after I got to know him a little bit, that I said, "Man, you're about the strangest dude I've ever met in my life." And I said, "You have the attention span of a gnat." And he did. He just wandered all the time. His mind was just out there. And we were all sitting around one night after dinner on a Friday night and talking. Several times I noticed that several of the guys said to him, hey, focus, focus. Because he would just drift on you. We'd be talking about something, and then all of a sudden he would just make some statement that had absolutely nothing to do with what we were all talking about. Everybody would turn and look at him, and over and over and over, when you were around him, you had to say, hey, focus, focus. He just wandered everywhere. Focus is important. It's an important thing, and we need to focus. When you're driving a car, you need to focus. You know, you don't want your mind wandering around while you're driving a car. You need to focus while you're driving a car. When you're doing things that are important, you want focus when you're doing them, or else you're going to make a mistake. And when it comes to Christmas, you know, the unbelieving world focuses on everything else besides the one thing that we should be focused on. The world today focuses on lights and trees and parades and presents and sales and peace and Santa Claus and reindeer and stockings and bells. I mean, all these things capture the focus of the world, and the real focus of Christmas is ignored. Now, I want us to focus on what Christmas is all about. And of course, in order to do that, we need to turn to the Word of God. We need to turn to the Bible. We need to turn to God's eternal Word of truth. For you see, when you read the Christmas story in the Bible, you're getting the truth. There is no superstition that is found in the Bible. What you've got in the Bible is fact from God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So if you want to know about the birth of Christ and you want to get God's focus and get God's point of view on what Christmas is all about, the best place to turn is to the Bible. There is no superstition here in the Bible. There are no commonly held theories in the Bible. No, what's in the Bible is fact. There are no traditions that have been passed down through the generations and embellished or diminished over time. No, what we have in the Bible is God's word about what happened. And I think we can trust that. And I want you to realize that we have today, we have the same word of God that has been miraculously inspired and miraculously preserved by God Almighty since the words were penned in the first century by holy men of old. So folks, when the Bible tells us how the Lord Jesus came into the stream of humanity, we need to realize that this, what we read about that in the Bible is the same account that has been read in the churches from the first century on. It's the truth of God's Word. And I submit to you that when you read Matthew chapter 1 and when you read Luke chapter 2, you can be assured that what you are reading is how it happened, and it is God's focus upon what Christmas is all about. When God tells the story of the birth of Christ, He puts the focus of Christmas where it's supposed to be. And I want us to look at that focus this morning. I think it can be easily summed up and seen in verse 21. Now, there are three parts to this verse. Part number one, look at your Bible. And she shall bring forth a son. Part number two, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And in part number three, for he shall save his people from their sins. Folks, that's the focus of Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. Now, let's look at these three things in detail. First of all, God puts the focus of Christmas on the wonder of Christ. And we find that in the first phrase. The angel of the Lord said to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son. Folks, this don't miss this first point. The angel of the Lord said to Joseph, she shall bring forth a son. Now, how important is that? Well, without a doubt, the birth of Jesus Christ was the most important birth that this world has ever seen. There is no doubt about that. Now, it was an important day when King David was born in Bethlehem many years before Christ. That was an important day. For eventually that young child grew up and became the king of Israel. It was an important day when John the Baptist was born. That was an important day. So important that the Bible takes the time to explain to us that John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would announce to the world that Christ had come, it was an important day when he was born. It was an important day. Let's just think about our time. It was an important day when George Washington was born, the father of our country. That, I mean, a great man, the founder of our nation. And it was a great day when George Washington was born. But the most important birth that the world has ever seen is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you wouldn't know that today, but nonetheless, that's true. You wouldn't know that today, but nonetheless, it is a fact. The most important day or most important birth the world has ever seen was the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you something that validates this. Do you realize that our calendars are based upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I think that shows you how important a day it was when Christ was born. Christ changed the world. He literally changed the world. And if men of centuries past based the calendar on his birth, I think that shows us just how vital his birth was. When they designed the calendar, they came up with an idea. They called it B.C., which means before Christ. And then they have A.D., which is an abbreviation for the Latin words in the year of his death. But we have simplified that, B.C., before Christ, A.D., after death. Now, recently, just to show you how the world is today, recently, just in the last several years, the unbelieving world has taken what men of past centuries have done with the calendar and with BC and AD, and they have changed that. They have changed BC and AD. And they did so with the intent of removing Christ from the equation. Now, if you get a modern history book or you read something that was written in the last several years, they have taken BC and they have changed it to BCE. You say, well, what's that mean? It's before Common Era. And then AD has been changed to CE, Common Era. You see, that takes Christ completely out of the picture. And that's what the world does. That's just another attempt to get the world not to focus on the most important birth that the world has ever seen. Folks, how the devil doesn't want the world to focus on Jesus. You ought to be able to see that clearly. Man, all over our country, there are these groups that are suing the city and the town and the school, and they don't want anything about Christmas connected to Christ. And they'll sue to get the manger scene out of the town square. They will sue to get the songs that we love to sing at Christmas that our nation has been singing for hundreds of years. But they have Jesus in them. They have Christ in them. And so they'll sue to get Christ out of Christmas. Well, that's the world we live in today. But folks, can we just use, just a little common sense for a moment? Now, I know that sounds crazy, but can we try it for just a minute? Let me make a statement here and just let it soak into you. Let me just make a statement and you just absorb it for a moment. Here's the statement. There would be no Christmas if Jesus had not been born. Man, he's what it's all about. There would be no Christmas if Jesus had not been born. I mean, I don't think it's any more complicated than that, nor do I think it's any more simple than that. There would be no Christmas at all if Jesus had not been born. Since the first century, Christians have celebrated the birth of our Savior. They celebrated the resurrection with Easter the following year after the resurrection, and they called it Easter. Easter's a good Bible word. Everybody thinks Easter's a pagan word. No, it's a good Bible word. And they celebrated Easter 1 year after Christ died on the cross. And today we're still celebrating Easter. And for as long as anybody can remember, we, the churches that believe the Bible have been celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And now here we are 2,000 years later, still celebrating the day that Christ was born. We, of course, the world has filled Christmas with so many things that are not related to Christ, but the fact remains that if Jesus Christ had not been born, Christmas would not be. We give presents to our loved ones at Christmas. Why? In honor of the fact that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's why we do that. Oh, that we would put our focus where it ought to be, on the wonder of Christ. Man, he changed the world. But then there's a second phrase, and I want you to look at it. Let's focus on the second phrase. The second phrase says, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus." Notice where God put the focus. He put it on his Son. The focus here is not on a Christmas tree. The focus here is not on the lights. No, it's on the Savior. And his name shall be called Jesus. Let's focus on the word for Christ. The word for Christ. We looked at the wonder. Now, secondly, look at the word. And thou shalt call his name, and here's the word, Jesus. God said that the Messiah who was born was to be called Jesus. Jesus is the anglicized version of the Hebrew name Joshua. You remember Joshua in the Old Testament? You know, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Joshua was the leader of the children of Israel who led them to conquer the land of Canaan. And that name, Joshua, means this. It means the Lord is salvation. So when the Savior was born, God said, you are to name him Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. Simplified, it simply means Savior. I think it is only fitting that the Father would send his Son into the world to provide salvation for all men and then call him by the name which focuses on the true purpose for his coming. It's amazing that God would do that. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I think it was only fitting that when he was born in Bethlehem's manger, that God told Joseph that his name was to be Jesus. Our Lord made it very clear that he is the only way to eternal life and that he is the only way to finding salvation for our souls. You know, folks, every year at Christmas time, you'll see folks who understand this truth, and they'll have placards in their yard, or they'll have a little thing hanging in their window, or sometimes you can see it in decorations in their house, or they'll put it on their Christmas cards. I've gotten several of them this year, and the little saying is, Jesus is the reason for the season. And boy, that's true. The Lord Jesus is the focus of Christmas. He's what Christmas is all about. And yet, in this world we live in today, the name of Jesus is heard more as a curse word than it is as a name of blessing. How sad is that? He came as the Savior of the world, and yet the world hates the very sound of His name. Man, that's just like the devil to take the most precious name that has ever been given to anybody and turn it into something vile and disgusting. Several years back, I was down at the hospital in Baltimore, and I got on the elevator at the first floor, and I was going up to the sixth floor, and I got on the elevator. I was the only one on, and I got in and pushed a button and just sort of leaned against the wall and was kind of out of the way. We went from the first floor to the second floor, and the elevator stopped. And as the door opened, as the elevator got there, I could hear people talking, two people talking, I found out. And the door opened, and two doctors or interns or something, they had doctor and little white lab coats on and stethoscopes around their necks. I hope they weren't playing the part. But they got on the elevator, and as they got on the elevator, one of them used the Lord's name in vain, in a blasphemous way. And then as he said it, just as soon as he said it, he stepped through the door and saw me standing there. And you could tell he was a little embarrassed. He didn't think anybody heard what he said. And so he got on and he reached over and hit three and then stood aside, and I just was looking at him. And he didn't say anything. And so I said to him, "You know, I don't know what the problem is, but you shouldn't blame the Lord Jesus for it." He looked up and he said, "You're right, I'm sorry." And I said, "You know, sir, it's kind of obvious that you don't know the Lord, or you would not use His name to curse." And about that time, we hit the third floor and the door opened and they made a beeline out. And I reached in my pocket and I said, "Here, read this. It'll tell you all about Him. And once you get to know Him, you will never use His word or His name to curse again." Now, he took the tract. I don't know if anything ever came of it. But that's the way the world takes the name of Jesus. They take it in vain. You know, the world today has no respect for the Lord who is salvation. On that first Christmas day, the focus was upon Him, but today the focus is not upon Him. We need to get it back to where the focus is upon the Lord. Today it's upon Santa Claus and trees and lights and a host of other things that the devil uses to distract us from the truth of why the Son of God came. Oh, that we would focus on Jesus, on that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Many years ago, I was preaching down in the Orlando area in a revival meeting, and the plan was to take Karen and the kids, and we drove down to Orlando, and we were going to take a couple of days at the end of that revival meeting and take the kids to Disney. Now, the only problem was Joshua was 4 and the girls were 2. You know, that was not really one of my brightest moves. And we parked the car and we got out. We had a dual stroller for the girls, and then we had a single stroller for Josh that we were going to take in case he got tired. And so we started, got everything unloaded and all the bags and, you know, everything. And Karen took all 3 of them and stood them in front of her. And she said, "Now look," she said, "you stay with Mommy and Daddy. Do you understand?" And I started laughing. And Karen said, "You're supposed to be supporting me here." And I said, "Well, honey, I just want you to think about what you're saying to a 4-year-old and 2 2-year-olds. Stay with Mommy and Daddy." I said, "They are about to go through that gate. And inside that gate is Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and all the other animals. And they're going to be walking every which direction, and we're going to be bumping into them. And Snow White's in there, and Cinderella's in there. And you're saying to a four-year-old and to two-year-olds, you stay with Mommy and Daddy? No, honey, there's too much in there to distract them and get them away from Mommy and Daddy. And I said, it's not their job to hang on to us. I looked at her and I said, it's our job to hang on to them. You see the difference? And boy, don't you know, the minute we got on Main Street, I mean the minute we got on Main Street, the girls were in their stroller. Joshua, I had him by the hand. And we got on Main Street, and lo and behold, here came, well, I think it was Yogi Bear. It was some bear. I presumed it was Yogi. I don't know. I'm not real up on my bears. But here come a character all dressed up like a bear. And he came walking down, and all of a sudden I felt that little hand go out of mine. Zoom, beelined right over to that bear. I turned around and said, there you go. Proves my point. Folks, there's all kinds of things that distract us from what Christmas is all about. Let's get our focus back where it belongs and realize that Christmas is all about the birth of the Savior of the world. Amen. Then there's a third phrase. A third phrase. God puts the focus on the wonder. God puts the focus on the Word. And God puts the focus on the work of Christ. In that last phrase of verse 21, it says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wow. The main work of Jesus Christ was that of saving us from sin. He is our Savior. That word Jesus, it simply means Savior. The Lord Jesus, think of this, folks. God named his son for the work he would do. Isn't that nice? You know, when I was born, my mom and dad decided I needed to be a Norris Jr. My dad's name's Norris. So they named me Norris Jr. They had no idea that I would be the pastor of the Church of the Open Door one day. They had no idea about that. They did not name me Pastor. They named me Norris. When Pastor Brian Young was born, his parents didn't know that one day he'd be the music director at Church of the Open Door. They named him Brian. I don't know what Brian means, but I got a few things floating through my mind right now. But they didn't name him Choir director Young. No, they didn't name him that. They didn't name him music director. No, they didn't name him that. They named him Brian. But when Jesus was born, before he was born, God said, you name him after the work he's going to do. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, let me ask you something, folks. Are you glad the Lord Jesus saved you? I am. As I've said before, I've never met anyone who got saved and then said, man, I wish I had never trusted the Lord as my Savior. Not one time have I ever found that. No, accepting Christ as your Savior and receiving God's free salvation is the greatest gift in the world. That's the greatest thing in the world. And this is the reason that the Lord Jesus came, to offer us salvation from our sin. And sadly, most people today do not appreciate his work. If you remember when he came, the people of his day wanted to be delivered from the bondage of the Roman Caesar. They did not see that they needed to be delivered from the bondage of sin. They didn't really care about that, most of them. What they cared about was being delivered from the bondage of sin. But I submit to you folks that the bondage of sin is a far worse bondage than physical bondage from an oppressive government. The bondage of sin is the worst thing ever, but they weren't concerned about that. And you know, folks today are just like that again. They're just like that again. There are a lot of people who would trust Christ if in so doing they would all of a sudden become multimillionaires. You know it? If all of a sudden, if I trust Christ, I'm going to be healed of the disease I have. Yep, count me in. Count me in on that one. If they were healed of some affliction, they'd be all over that. But you see, the rub comes over this whole sin issue. And when you start telling people that they need to be saved from their sin, all of a sudden, sin? Sin? And I have had oodles of people through the years. Oodles, that means a whole lot. I've had many people through the years who have come up and argued with me, and they've said, wait a minute, preacher, I'm not that bad. You see, your problem with that is you are measuring yourself against somebody else. You are measuring yourself against somebody you know. And maybe when you do that, you're not as bad as somebody else. But God does not measure us against each other. God measures us against His Son. And His Son is perfect. You say, I'm not that bad. Wait a minute. You're not perfect. You say, I'm trying to be. Try all you will. You're not perfect and never will be. You can't be saved from sin until you realize that you are a sinner who needs to be saved. We had the hardest time getting my dad to the Lord because my dad quit smoking and quit drinking and was a 32nd or 3rd, however high up in the Masonic Lodge you can go, he was it. And he just thought, hey, I'm good enough. And it took months of preaching the Bible for him to realize that no matter how good he thought he was, he would never measure up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, humbled by that, down the aisle he went, got on his face and called upon the name of the Lord and got saved. You're not good enough to get to heaven on your own merit, dear friend. And that's why God sent His Son into this world, so that He would die for your sins and mine and be our Savior. He wants to save you from your sins. You say, Pastor, how does He do that? By your faith and His grace. You don't deserve it. It's given to you by grace. And your faith that He will do what He said He would do. The greatest work Christ can do for you, dear friend, is to save you from your sins. Whether you realize it or not, that's your greatest need today. No doubt every person in this room has a lot of needs, but without doubt, the greatest need you have is for your sins to be forgiven. And that's the main reason the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. That is the focus of Christmas. The Savior is born. Christmas should celebrate and focus upon the real reason He came. And may we never forget that if Christ had not been born to save us from our sins, there would be no Christmas at all. I hope you'll never forget that. Now let me ask you a question. Is He your Savior? Is He your Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? You see, He came to die for your sins, but you've got to trust Him. You've got to trust Him.